Right, let's turn to Joshua chapter number 3 this morning, and it is good to see you today, and I'm excited for what the day is, just New Year's Eve. And I try not to make such a huge deal out of, you know, New Year's Eve. I understand tomorrow is just Monday for most people, and life just kind of goes on and that kind of thing. But there's just something in us that likes to reset around the turn of the year. And so I'm going to preach a message I'm just entitled, Get Your Feet Wet, out of Joshua 3. If you found Joshua 3, if you'll stand with me out of the respect and for the honor of reading God's Word, we'll read the whole chapter this morning. And so that's a little scary, isn't it? But no, it's not too much. Joshua 3, look at verse 1. The Bible says, And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up upon a heap. They shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people were removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Father, I pray that you would help us now in this time where we look at your word. I pray you'd help me in the preaching of it. Lord, help me to expound the text properly, but Lord, also to give the application that you want us to have today. And I pray that, Lord, your word would mean something to us, that it would change our hearts, that it would help us to act and behave the way that you want us to. I pray you do a work through your spirit. Help me, Lord, to recall the things that I've studied. Help me to be able to properly explain. And God, just give me every word to say, I pray. Lord, we just pray for victory, Lord, in the preaching time. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Just want to remind you of the purpose of Israel. It's important that you understand why they're standing here at this Jordan River and kind of what had happened previously. And won't go back and read all the verses, although you can. Way back in the Garden of Eden, as Adam and Eve sinned, they were placed under a curse. And in that same chapter that speaks about the curse, there was a promise given for a promised seed. And we know that promised seed to be Jesus Christ. We just got through celebrating how he fulfilled that promise and came to the earth. And he came through a people, the nation of Israel. in Genesis chapter number 12, God calls Abram aside and he tells him to get thee from thy country and from thy kindred unto a land that I will show thee. And what he's doing there is not just separating out one person, but he's separating out a nation. And he chooses Abraham to separate that nation out. And that would be the nation that would, it says there in Genesis 12, bless all nations. And that they would bring the Messiah from that, it would come from Abraham and from his family. But then God had a plan and a purpose for Israel as well, to bless all nations. And so when we look at their story, what we understand is that that is partially fulfilled. Jesus did come, the Messiah did come through the nation of Israel, but because of their rejection of him, they failed to ultimately be a blessing to all nations. Now, the story is not over for Israel, and one day the Lord will redeem them, and there's those covenants and promises that he made to them are still there, and the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And so all that's going to happen in the future, but what we see in the story of the Israelites is that, man, it's just sort of failure after failure after failure in the Old Testament. They were told that they would be a blessing to all nations. They go down into Egypt. Of course, God led them there and God made them a great nation in Egypt. And we've been studying on Sunday mornings this year the Exodus and how God, by his mighty hand and by his providence, by his mighty power, he exited them. He exodused them from Egypt and they came out of there. And God gives them the law. We haven't got to that part yet, but God gives them the law and he gives them instructions in the book of Exodus and in the book of Leviticus. He tells them exactly what he wants them to do. And he brings them up to the edge of the promised land. You may remember the story in the book of Numbers. They come all the way up to the promised land. They've just gotten freed from Egypt. And they've got all this instruction from God at Mount Sinai. And now they're all the way up to the promised land. And God says, I want you to go in. This is the land that I gave Abraham. This is the land that I gave him. And I want you to go in. I want you to conquer the land. And so they get up to that border. And if you remember, they send some spies over the border. Remember that story? They send some spies over the border. And those spies come back. And as the children sing in Sunday school, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And 10 of those spies were fearful. And they said, look, there's giants over there. And there's people there that we can't conquer. They're like grasshoppers for number, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb were saying the whole time, but there's milk and honey flowing. There's grapevines that two men have to carry, and it's a good land, and God's given us this land. And if you remember the words of Caleb where he says, let's go up at once and possess it. I mean, he wants to go in, but the 10 spies, their counsel overruled the 2 that were wanting to go in. And so they fail to enter the land. And if you remember the story, God judges the nation of Israel at that time, that he says, okay, if you're not going to go in, as I've said, well, then you can spend the rest of your years in the wilderness. So we have this 40-year wilderness wandering story where Moses literally walks with the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years while everyone 20 years old and upward dies. A whole generation of people pass off the scene because they failed to go into the land. But Joshua, Caleb, Moses, and those youngsters that were 20 years old and younger, and those that were born during that 40 years, are after that wilderness experience, have come again to the border. And God has sort of taken the baton from Moses and put it in Joshua's hand. You can read Joshua chapter number 1, and you'll see that there's a transitioning of leadership that happens between Moses and Joshua. And so Moses gets to see the land. He never gets to enter in, and the Lord takes him home. And so then here's Joshua, and Joshua is, I don't know that he's nervous about his call, but if you read chapter 1, it sure kind of seems so, because God is continually telling him, look, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. As I was with him, so I'll be with you. And he's also saying pretty often, be strong and courageous. And he gives him some instruction. You should go read it. Joshua 1 and verse 8, he says, here's how you're going to prosper. You're going to stay in my word all day and night. You're going to follow my word just as Moses did. And so here they are, this new leader and this next generation of Israelites, again, a chance to go into the promised land and fulfill the will of God for this step of their life. And they're there at that border yet again as we open up Joshua chapter 3. That's where we are. It's a second chance to enter into the land. It's another chance. It's the same old promised land. It's the same giants that were there last time. It's the same challenges that lie before them. And so there's a little bit of a time of choice here for Israel. Will they go in and conquer the land, or will they do what their fathers did and refuse to go? Well, if you read the book of Joshua, and I assume that you have, you know the story. They do enter into the land. Now, I'm going to try to use this story because the Bible gives us all these stories, these historical accounts, and they're to be examples for us. And so as we've talked about things like the Exodus and how it really does picture some things in our life about our salvation, well, here, as the children of Israel go into the land of Canaan, we often think about that promised land as heaven. You know, even a lot of the songs that we sing that we're bound for the promised land. I like that song. But did you understand in the Bible, the promised land actually doesn't represent heaven? And you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to defeat giants, right? I mean, so just really simply, you can learn. But what the picture is it's a picture of a person. He's taking that next step of faith. He's taking that next step of following the Lord. And he's getting to that point of life where now he's got to fight the giants and start to grow and conquer in his Christian faith. And so the picture that we see here is these children of Israel, they're painting the picture for us as someone who would just take that next step of faith, understanding that they're supposed to be obedient to God. This is the land that's set before them. This is what he has planned for their life. This is what he wants them to do. He wants Israel to go in and conquer the promised land. And so we read the book of Joshua, and it's a land of conquering and conquest. That's what they do. The first half of the book, they're just battling everyone. The second half of the book, they're dividing up the land. And so they're trying to accomplish that purpose that God's given in their life. So the picture is this. God has a plan and a purpose, not just for Israel, but for your life and my life as well. There's a promised land before us in our life. There's something that he wants us to do. There are things that he wants us to accomplish for his name's sake and for his glory, but it's not a land that is easily taken. I want you to understand this, that your life has purpose. And that purpose is found in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the world is really stirring for purpose. They're really struggling for what does it all mean and what am I supposed to do and why am I here and why was I, if they believe they were created by God, why was I created? Well, the Bible tells us we're created for His glory. Our purpose, and there's many different paths of life that people go on. There's paths in ministry, there's paths of occupation, there's all sorts of different paths of life, but everyone's purpose is supposed to be the same. Glorifying God, bringing honor and glory to Him. And so our life has a purpose. And I get a little overwhelmed when I start to think about the purpose of our life. I start to think about however many years God gives me, what is the purpose? What am I supposed to fulfill? Can I tell you this? If God were to give me a glimpse of the end of the life and what my life is supposed to be, if He were to really let me look forward and see that, I'd probably be too scared. I'd probably be just like those Israelites that came back and said, man, there's giants out there. I don't know that I want to do that. This is how I like to look at it. And my life is broken down into, well, we're creatures of time. So my life is broken down into seasons, you might say. Chapters, years. So if my purpose, my overall purpose, is to glorify God, it would make sense then that the chapters, the seasons, the purpose there would be to glorify God in those chapters, in those seasons. So wherever stage of life you are today, understand God has an overall purpose for your life to glorify Him. He has a path. He has a plan. He has wonderful things He wants to do through you. And he has that all for you, but it's accomplished by really being obedient in those seasons, chapters, years of life. So when you boil that down, what that means is, and this is just my, this is that way, there are people who are like, hey, in 30 years, I'm going to be like here in life. I just can't get there. I can't figure that out. I have trouble enough remembering what I'm supposed to do tomorrow afternoon. And so to me, what I like to do is just break it down and say, okay, this year has got to fit into God's plan. this year, I got to glorify God this year. I've got to follow him this year, because if I want to be there in year two, well, I got to do year one. And then I've got to go down even further and say, well, this month then, really to get a good start on the year, this month, I need to do something. But if I'm going to accomplish things this month, then let me just boil it down a little more. This week, I better glorify the Lord. And you see where I'm going. This day, we're so caught up in, well, what's the whole purpose and meaning and where is God taking me? Can I tell you, sometimes he doesn't give us that revelation. But I can be faithful and glorify him today. I have explained to people before that are overwhelmed with all the things in life. I say, listen, life is really, it's just a series of choices. And so even your day is broken down into decisions. You already made some good ones this morning because you're here. But this afternoon, you're going to have more decisions to make and then more decisions after that. And so what we have to do is to make sure if this day is going to glorify God, then this decision I'm about to make has to glorify him. So don't make it so complicated. Just win the next battle. Just fight the next giant in front of you. Just understand that all those things add up to a year of purpose. A season of purpose, a season of purpose, a time of glorifying God, which will add up eventually to a lifetime of glorifying him. When we think about this time of year, we're so concerned with, well, this year we got these resolutions, right? We always, has anyone made any resolutions? That's not a trick question. I'm not mad at you. I think it's a good thing. It's okay. I'm with it. I've got a few myself. Okay, good. There's some people here. Some of you are like, I'm not ever raising my hand in church because every time I do, then he gets me in trouble. Listen, not the purpose today. We all have those things that year to year we want to do better on. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, we want to be better. You know, we got to lose a little bit of weight this year. It didn't happen last year. Let's just all blame the holidays. We know it wasn't that really that, but we just blame it and then we'll move on, right? No, whatever it is, we want to read more books this year. I started trying to think about what people do for their New Year's resolutions. I typically don't make any. Not any like big resolutions. So I want to read more books this year, or I want to stop this habit or stop that habit. I want to add this. I want more time with my family. That'd be a good resolution for the year. I want to spend more time with the kids that I have been given in my stewardship. You know, none of us spend enough time. It'd be a good resolution. I want to spend more time with my kids. But where in that thought process do we find the Lord? Where in our plans for the new year do we say, now, how can I glorify him better this year? What can I do? How can I adjust my day to day, my week to week, my month to month? How can I adjust it so as to glorify God this year? Because really, our purpose is found in Jesus Christ and glorifying him. So how can I tune my life that way? Well, what is our purpose? Well, glorifying the Lord through sharing Christ with others, glorifying the Lord through being the light and the testimony that he's called us out to be. How are we going to accomplish that? Well, I think in Joshua 3, we get some really good instruction. I'm going to give you just three or four things today on how we can set out this year to glorify him in 2024. All right, first of all, we have to understand this. We need to understand and put significance or put importance on following God. Following God. This year, what am I going to do? I'm going to follow Christ. Look at verse number 3. I like what he says here. He says, he commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is where God resided. You write down Exodus 25 and go read it. This is where they put the book of the law. They put a copy of God's word in there. They put a couple other things in there as well to remind them of some things that God has done. But then God said himself, I'm going to dwell on the mercy seat between the cherubs. That's where I'm going to dwell. So that Ark of the Covenant was like the representation of God's presence with them. So they're going to, when they see the Ark of the Covenant go out, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. So they're supposed to follow the ark. When they see the ark, that's the commandment they were given. They didn't say, notice this, They didn't say follow Moses. Now they were to follow Moses at times. Right here he says follow the ark. When you see the ark removed from its place and you see those Levites gather around, they pick it up and they're moving, you better put up your tent. You're moving. You're following. But then he gives them more instructions. Yet, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. And this is interesting. So a half a mile or so. So they're supposed to follow the ark, but they're gonna give themselves about a half a mile. Well, there's, according to the book of Numbers, there's 600,008 or so men. And then you got ladies, you got children. So the estimates are somewhere 1.5 to 2 million people are trying to follow the Lord. And so you understand there needs to be some space out there in front so everyone can see what the ark's doing. Does that make sense? If you're all in a big bunch and the ark is right there at the front, the people in the back, they don't know what's going on. But if that thing's out there a half a mile or so, 2,000 cubits, they can all see. And so the Lord says, follow the ark. When you see that ark, get up and go. Get ready to get up and go behind it, but don't get too close. He says this, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. You need to be watch. You need to be in a position where you can see God moving. And for them, practically, if they all got too close, they wouldn't see God moving. By the way, if they got too far, they wouldn't be able to see God moving either. So understand, he said, just put yourself in a position, and he gives them the exact instructions, but he says, put yourself in a position where you can see God moving and follow. When he moves, you move. And so I don't want to get too bound up in, well, they couldn't get close to the Lord. That, you understand, it's not the picture. The picture is, be in a place where I can see him moving. That's the picture. Don't be too far. Don't be too close. Be in a place where I can see him moving. And then follow the presence of God. The Holy Spirit leads us along our path. The Word of God is an instruction to us, to help us to follow him. But we have to be in a place where we can see him move. Can I tell you this? If you're not in the Word of God daily, you're not in a place to see God move. You're just not. You're not going to see when he wants to get up and go. You're not going to see when he comes to a stop. You're not going to, the Spirit is not going to be able to direct you if you're never in his word. You've got to put yourself in a position to see God move. You say, how can I be successful for the Lord in 2024? Well, it's just as David said in Psalm 119, order my steps in thy word. How do I know what my next step is? Well, David said, order my steps in thy word. Without the word, without it being an integral part of our life, we won't know when the ark of God's moving. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if you never read your Bible this year, and listen, if you don't like the plan the preacher gives, find a plan. Just get in his word. Spend time in his word. It's not even about checking off a calendar. It's just, I need to know what God's telling me every day. And you say, well, I read it once and I didn't get anything. And so I don't know what he's saying. And so I gave up. But here's the problem. You read it once. Did you tell your wife you loved her the day that you met? And then you, like, we're good from here on out. She never needs to hear that again. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. That's not how a relationship works, is it? No, I need constant communication, affirmation. I need to constantly be hearing what God has for me. And so if I'm getting up morning after morning and getting right into my routine that day, can I tell you, I might lose the day for the Lord. When I get to heaven, we all going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account. Those of us who know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord today, I want you to know that he wants to know you. And I'm going to tell you at the end how you can know Christ today. But for those of you who know the Lord, you're going to stand before the Lord one day and you're going to give an account. And it really does. And I know we're not supposed to worry. We're not supposed to fret. Maybe we're not supposed to even really have guilt. Once we've asked for forgiveness, the Lord's forgiven us. And I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, there's something that gives me a little bit of trepidation when I think about meeting the Lord. And I understand for the first time in my existence how much time I wasted. How many days I let the devil get me off track. How many months of my life were not glorifying God because I'd gotten too far away. How many years of my life that I didn't spend serving Him because I let the little things slip and I didn't understand that it's decision by decision and day by day and sometimes hour by hour. They had to watch the ark. They had to be in a place where they could follow the ark. They had to pay attention to when it stopped and when it got up and when it went. And He said, I want you to be in a position to see me move. Christian, you will not glorify God today or tomorrow or this week or this month or this year if you're not in a position to see Him move. All kinds of stuff He gives us. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us the Word. He gives us a church. Can I tell you this? You're not going to live the Christian life right before God without being a part of His church. Put yourself in a position to see God move. Be at church. It's simple. Open the Word of God daily. Read it. Don't read it to impress others. Don't read it to impress yourself. Read it to hear what God is saying. That's being in a position to see Him move. Secondly, can I tell you this? There will be obstacles. I'm going to use Bible reading a little bit today just because it's the day I give out the things and that's what's on my mind. But understand that you can apply these same truths to everything we're supposed to do for the Lord and everything we're not supposed to do. You can apply these same truths. But I'll tell you this, if you set out this year and you say, I'm going to read my Bible every day, expect obstacles. I mean, He's like, go into the promised land. There's a river in the way. I'll take care of that. When you get over there, yeah, the Amalekites are still there. I mean, they're still over there. They're still big. I think they're bigger. They've been pumping up for 40 years over there. They're even bigger. But that's where I want you to go. In verses 9 through 11, He tells them, no, there's giants there. Like, you just expect the giants. Can I tell you, Christian, if you're trying to do anything for the Lord, expect the giants. If you're going through life and there's never any turmoil spiritually, you're probably not going the right way. Expect opposition. Expect those giants. It says there in verse number 10, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you and that He will without fail drive out from before you. And He lists off all those ites. God's promised. If we're obedient, it's interesting. I'm not even the one that has to fight the giants. I mean, the nation of Israel didn't have a bunch of weapons. I mean, they were getting some and they were getting bigger and all that. But no, it was God that, how'd they beat Jericho? They marched. They obeyed. And the walls fell down. It's just God's going to take care of those giants, but we have to expect them. Tomorrow morning when you open up your Bible and you say, I'm going to spend some time, the phone's going to buzz. The email thing's going to ding. The person at work, the situation at work that you're dealing with is going to come to mind. The endless list of errands that you have to do today, which we know that's a lie because we don't do them, and then the next day they're still there. But that endless list of stuff we got to do today, and you say, well, I really don't have time this morning. If you lose the morning, I'm trying to be real practical. If you lose the morning, you lose the afternoon. You lose the evening, you lose the day. You lose Monday, it's harder Tuesday. You see how this works? If you want a good year, you start right now, this moment, this decision, what you got to do today. And you fight each giant individually. But expect obstacles. You're going to live for the Lord in 2024. Expect the world's not becoming a more friendly place for the Christian. It's not becoming a more acceptable place to serve the Lord. More and more people each year aren't coming to the realization that they ought to just serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, as I see it, and I pray the Lord wins more souls in 2024. I pray we see more good things happen in 2024, but it seems like our group is shrinking. It just seems like it. It's not getting easier. Jesus told us we would have tribulation, but He also said, I have overcome the world. God will allow some obstacles to build us and to instruct us Satan will try to deter us as well. Expect it. Just know it's coming. If we're obedient, if we're in a position to see the ark, if we're looking for God to move, if we're staying close enough to Him that we can hear His Spirit and we're being instructed in His Word, without fail, is what He said, I'll take care of the giants. Without fail. God's never failed. The only giants they didn't run out of the land were the ones that they weren't obedient and didn't go in and do what they were told to do. Everywhere they went where they obeyed, God ran off every giant. It's never God. God never goes back on His word. So expect obstacles. Thirdly, understand this, following God requires faith. And I love this story for this reason. It's been 40 years since God had parted the Red Sea and Israel walked across on dry land. It's been 40 years. 40 years. I'm 40 years old. It's been my lifetime. That was how long ago it was that they all went across. And all those that were 20 years old and upward, they're dead. They're not there. And so you got a bunch of youngsters now. And well, there's some that were like 19. Now they're 59. Like there's some youngsters, right? Amen. But this is a group of people that it's been 40 years since they saw God do that. And now the instruction is a little bit different. Before, if you remember, Moses goes before them and he stretches out the rod. You remember? And the sea parts. And they're all standing there going, wow. This time, did you catch the instructions? They would have the Jordan's overflowing. It's the time of harvest. The Jordan's overflowing its banks. It's a mighty torrent of water going through, and it's way over the banks. And he said, I'm not going to part it until the brim of their feet touch the water. Now that takes some faith. I mean, if God told you, you can cross this mighty river, but you got to get your feet wet first. I mean, if he doesn't do it, you're going in. And a river is a powerful thing. So he says, nope, you go out there. Those holding the ark, they're going to go out there. And he'll move that water, but it's not until your feet touch. I'm just telling you, that takes faith. It takes faith. I have a few quotes here. I think I've used them. But if you're going to... Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you want to please God in 2024? Can I say this? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if I'm not acting in faith this year, can I please God? Good, you said it, not me. No, without faith, it is impossible. So let's describe that a little bit. Let's work on that. Do you pray in faith? Let me say this. Most of us, and I don't know who said this. I stole it long ago, and then I lost who said it. So if they hear it, I guess they can come after me. But they said this. Most people only ask God for things that Bill Gates could give us. Isn't that something? And that's true. Most people only ask God for things that really, if we were friends with Bill Gates, although maybe not, he's not very charitable, but if he was more charitable, most of the problems that we bring to God, he could take care of them. Now, isn't that sad? It's really sad. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we only plan things that we can do by ourselves. George Mueller said, God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise of patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means. I say, he says this, and say deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. We should take them out of his hands as evidences of his love and care for us, in developing more and more that faith which he is seeking to strengthen in us. Anything that I know the answer to before I do it doesn't take faith. If I know how a thing is going to turn out, and therefore then I'll go ahead and do it, that doesn't take faith. Faith is acting when we don't know how it's going to turn out. Let me show you a verse. Look at Proverbs 16. Turn to Proverbs 16. I read this week in my Bible reading, and it jumped off the page. Proverbs 16. And look at verse number 3. This is something that, boy, this isn't how the way we think. This isn't the way we think. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Boy, that's a good verse. But listen. We like our thoughts to be established, and then we like to commit. That's what we like. We like to know the why. We like to know why. Okay, God, you want me to do this thing. Why? Does he always tell us why? Have you read the book of Job? Job never finds out why. Never. And all anyone does when they read the book of Job, they go, God, why? Why'd you do that to Job? Listen, if he didn't tell him, you know, Job is about how. That'll help you. How to go through a trial. Not why. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Y'all get me sidetracked sometimes. No, we like to know why. We like to know how. God, how? How will I do this thing you're asking me to? How will I give this year? How will I be faithful in my Bible reading this year? How will I witness to that person that's on my heart this year? How will I be a testimony to my family that needs a testimony this year? How, and we don't know. And God knows. Have you ever thought, man, not man, he's God. Have you ever thought, God, you know, why can't I know? It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard if you just tell me how. If you told me how, then I'd do it. Okay. Without faith, it is impossible. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts will be established. What that means is, God tells you to do something, you just do it. You commit your works unto the Lord. You're just like, yep, I'm going to be obedient. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm going to do it. I'm committing. When God called me to be a pastor, I said, how? I was studying to be an investment banker. They make lots of moolah, right? Lord, how am I going to take care of a family? No one's going to listen to me. You're like, well, we're the suckers that he... I'm just kidding. How? I was dating a woman I wanted to marry. Is she going to be okay with that? No, he doesn't always tell us how, why, when, where. We commit our works to the Lord, and let me tell you this, thy thoughts shall be established. He's shown me how for the last 20 years. He's shown me how. He's shown me why for the last 20 years. But I'm telling you, you gotta take the step first. Because it's faith. There's a whole lot of people who will never really know what it is like to take a step for God and be and not know where the foot's going to land and to find sure footing. There's a lot of people who never understand what that's like because they'll never take that step. They'll never get over the fear. They'll never get over the anxiety. And I'm just telling you, without faith, it is impossible to please it. can apply it to 1,000 different things in your life this year. God is constantly challenging our faith. He's constantly stretching us. He's constantly testing our faithfulness. He's constantly working on us through our relationships, through our parenting, through our marriages, through our giving and our finances, through our soul winning and our testimony, through the ministries that we are involved in, through our church attendance and our church activity and the way that we serve. He's doing all those things, and he's asking us again, take a step, follow. Well, Lord, I don't know how. Commit thy works to the Lord. My thoughts will be established. One more thought. Look at verse 3. If you're in Exodus, you're not in Exodus. Where are you at? Joshua. I was just going to list all 66 until we got to one. Joshua 3. It's important that the people, when God moved, they moved. It's important that they moved, and they needed to move forward. A lot of times at the end of the year, you get around and you think, you know what I need to do next year? I need to move forward in my life, my spiritual life. I need to move forward. In verse 3, the Bible says, when you see the ark move, ye shall remove. Verse 16 and 17, both verses say that they passed clean over Jordan. Central Baptist Church. We need to move forward in 2024. We need to move forward as individuals. There's no pause button in the Christian life. There's no sitting on the fence in the Christian life. There's no hovering in the Christian life. You're either moving forward for Christ or you're slipping backward. And we need to individually, we need to move forward. We're gonna press this year to grow in the Lord. We're going to want to stretch ourselves in the time we spend with Him, in the time we have in prayer, in the things that we sign up to serve in. We want to stretch ourselves this year. We want to move forward. As a family this year, I want to move forward for the Lord. Can I say this as your pastor, as a church? Central, we have to move forward for the Lord. I want to show you a couple of verses, and then I'm going to be done. But I didn't write these down in my original notes, but then this morning, as I was thinking about this point of moving forward, I just want to show you something. Philippians chapter 3. If I could just speak to you for a minute or two. It's just us, right, church? Can we agree to something here today? Central Baptist has been through a tough few years. Can we agree to that? Been through a tough few years. There's a lot of things that have happened. There's a lot of people who got hurt. We got to move forward. Philippians 3, look at what he says here. Verse 13. Here's Paul. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says. He says, here's what I know. If I want to be like Christ, I have got to move forward, which means I've got to let things of the past go, and I've got to turn my focus toward Him and press toward Jesus Christ. It says in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, that means those that are striving to grow in Christ toward spiritual maturity, those that are growing, be thus minded. As people, I'm telling you, we are prone to live in yesterday. The defeats and the difficulties and the heartache of yesterday are always at the forefront of our mind. It's just as dangerous, though, to have the victories of yesterday at the forefront of our mind, too. I mean, yeah, we're glad. But we're glad when good things happen. But the Bible says, if you think you stand, take heed. That's the Jeremy. I didn't quote that right. If you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. Go to Hebrews. And let's just bring this full circle. Last year, our theme was looking unto Jesus, right? Hebrews 12. So go to Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus. How do we do that? Well, there's a verse that comes before that we need to read. Last day of the year. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he's just referring to chapter 11, all those that acted in faith. All those people who took a step for Christ in faith, not knowing how it would turn out. They just acted in faith. That's the cloud of witnesses. That's our company in this battle. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If we hold on to the pains of yesterday, it's just like a boat trying to go with the anchors down. That verse says we need to lay aside sin, but it also says weight. They're different. Here's what I'm thankful for. I mean, I'm thankful for a lot of things, but I'm thankful for this year, March 13th. I'll wake up in a bad mood. Now, I'm not a prophet, so this may not happen. But go with me. I'll wake up in a bad mood. I'll miss my Bible reading. I'll be irritated about something. I won't pray. I'll be short with my wife. We'll have one of those days. Y'all never have those, right? It may not be March 13th, but there's going to be a day. I'm thankful that when I completely mess up my day, the Father comes along and He gathers up my brokenness. And He gathers up my mess. Because I go to Him, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I go to Him and I confess my sin, and my long-suffering Father just comes along and He gathers me all back up. And He forgives my sin. And He cleanses me of all unrighteousness. And He picks me up, He stands me back up on my feet, and He says, let's just go again. I'm thankful for that. Because there'll be a number of times this year that I will need Him to come along and gather up my brokenness. If you mess up on your Bible reading, just let Him gather you back up. Start again. If you have one of those days, just go to Him, confess, let Him gather you back up, and start again. Central Baptist Church, we have to let Him gather us back up and start again. We have to forgive where we need to forgive. We have to let go of things we need to let go of. Because I'm telling you, God has a purpose and a plan for this church. And He wants us to serve here in Gillette. He wants us to grow. I don't know. You say, what does it look like? I don't know. I wish I did. He won't tell me. He just said, I want you to take a step. But we will not move if we got the weights. So listen to the Lord. It's a new day. It's a new year. It's a new season. I just believe with all my heart, God has blessings on the horizon and giants mingled in. But if we're faithful to Him, if we're obedient to Him, if we just stay where we can see His leadership, He will without fail drive all the giants out. Would you pray with me? Lord, I'm so thankful for who You are. Thankful for Your people. Thankful for the year that You've given us and how You've brought us through. Lord, everything we've needed, You've provided. Father, I pray that You'd work in our individual lives, work in our families, work in our church, that we might glorify You this day, this week, this year. I pray that You'd work in this time of invitation, that You'd continue to speak to hearts however You desire. Lord, I do ask that You would use our church in a mighty way in Gillette, that You would bless as You see fit, that You would lead the roads that You want us to go on, and You'd help us just to stay right with You where we can see You. Help us to be faithful followers of You, obedient to You, cooperative with You. Lord, and as You push and move our church this year, God, help us just to have the faith to take the steps. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you'll stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking.